I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of
Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, I've been spending a lot of time, just find myself pulled to the books of Jeremiah and Isaiah. I want to learn from the Israelites, you know, what happened in their hearts and in their lives and in their culture that compelled God to exile them to Babylon. And just the fact that God said, you know, as consequence for your sin, you are being exiled, but I'll be with you there. And then he said, and I'm making a way back for you. It's amazing. Over and over again, he provided time and time again opportunities to repent. And they shrugged their shoulders at God. Yet he still loved them. He allowed them to feel the consequence of their sin, but said, I've already made a way back. That the love of God, the grace of God, just astounds me. So I started to look at what is it that... What are some of the things that they did that angered God? So one of them was they stopped listening to him. They said that their hearts had grown hard because they'd stopped listening to God. What we listen to, who we listen to, affects our heart directly. So some stop listening to him because of rebellion, others because of distraction. Well, it's no different today. Some have shrugged their shoulders at God and stopped listening because they don't want to listen. Others, they're listening to other things. You can only listen to one thing at a time. What are you listening to? Well, you can tell by the fruit in your life. Let's take a lesson from the Israelites. They'd stopped listening to God, and it directly impacted their hearts. Another thing that God said, I have against you, is they've forgotten about the miracles that God had performed. Let's remember the good things God has done. So remember that there are good things God has yet to do. Also, they stopped seeking God for his guidance and valuing his input. And they no longer feared him, so they no longer obeyed him. But surprisingly, again, God made a way where there was no way. Well, almost once a month, we try to do this every month as best we can get our schedules together. We do a show called Intercessors Insights, and you've asked us to bring these girls back again and again. You know, I often, every day, basically, talk to leaders, authors, but you know what? There's something so powerful about talking to women who spend a lot of time with God. Intercessors Insights is what we call the show. Bonnie Newberg, Rosie Brosnan, and Shannon Velser will join me in just a moment. But, you know, I always say that texting the show is kind of my love language. I want to hear from you. So the question I have, I'm going to play a song here in just a moment as we prepare our hearts, because I really believe, you know, we had a little email conversation back and forth between the girls. What they have to say to me is so powerful that I want you to lean in. I want your heart prepared. I want you to listen, because I really do believe God has some fresh words for us through them. So we're going to listen to a song in just a moment. But this is what I want from you. What is the Lord saying to you? What is he asking of you? Maybe what does your offering look like right now? Are you offering him your fear, your anxiety, a bad attitude? What offering are you bringing before the Lord? And what is he saying to you? Would you text me 877-933-2484? So we're just going to listen to a portion of a song by Vertical Worship. I want us just to really enter in. I'm going to just pray, Father, we commit this time to you. This particular show, Intercessors Insights, feels like holy ground to me, just as we slow down and we pause and we listen to what you have to say. What are you saying to us, Lord? Let us hear your voice. Let us do what you say. Forgive us, Father, for the countless ways we listen to other voices. Forgive us, God, for our lack of reverence before you. Forgive us for forgetting about the good things you've done. And we want so much to reset, come before you, and hear what you have to say. We love you. We give you this time. Speak through my friends today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's listen.
Freedom in the free fall.
present ourselves that way. You know, he's promised to care for us. He's promised to make a way for us. Comfort is behind us. But you know what? Sometimes comfort makes us soft. God wants us to engage our faith. Trust is what we need right now. This is Susie Larson Live, and it is a day for Intercessors Insights. My friends, Shannon Belser, Rosie Brosnan, and Bonnie Newberg join me today. And a quick announcement before we get to these girls. One is we're engaging in the Kindness Initiative, Kindness Always Initiative. You'll find the information on our website, myfaithradio.com, trying to mobilize thousands of people to engage in random acts of kindness. Also, Shannon Velser and her husband John and Kevin and I will be speaking at the upcoming Sisterhood Leadership Retreat. So if you're a female and you want to be just activated for the things of God, it's coming up in about a week and a half, but there's still spots available. Just Google Sisterhood Leadership and you will probably find it and hope you can join us. That's going to be great. Let me tell you about my guests. We'll get them on the show. Bonnie Newberg is my mentor, a dear friend, and a lover of God's Word. She's a brand new great-grandma four times over in just a matter of weeks. She's a recent retiree who's trusting God to repurpose her. When she speaks, I always listen. Welcome, Bonnie.
Hello, Susie.
Good to be with you. Rosie Brosnan, well, she used to be a major gift officer for Northwestern Media. Now she's my colleague Bill Arnold's producer, so she produces the show right after my show, and we're so incredibly thrilled to have her on the Faith Radio team. We love you, Rosie. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so, endorsing her for this position, but I'm like, wait, one more thing. Can she still come on my show? And they said yes. So, all right. Shannon Belzer and her husband, John, pastor North Star Community Church, church they planted 9 years ago in Coon Rapids, Minnesota. They've enjoyed having front row seats to watching the miraculous hand of God move in and through the local church. They have two adventure-seeking boys. I love these names, Aiden and Asher, who keep their parents on their toes and their mama in prayer. Welcome, Shannon.
Thank you.
Good
to be here.
Love it. All right, Bonnie, let's start with you. What passage have you been pondering these days you want to share with us?
Well, I'm excited to share this passage. But first I have to say, man, that song just about undid me.
Yeah.
What an awesome way to start a show, Presence of God. Okay, the scripture I wanted to share is out of Hebrews 10, and it starts at verse 22 and 23. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful.
Mm-hmm.
I loved what you had to say in the beginning about our hearts and how important it is to guard our hearts. And so that verse is one I love and have been thinking about a lot lately.
Thank you, Bonnie. How about you, Shannon?
It kind of ties into a lot of what you were opening the show with, which was just incredible because we didn't talk about this before. And it's Matthew 7 and verses 16 through 20. And it's, by their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Just in the conversations I've been having with people who I keep going back to the story of the Israelites and how they responded in times of crisis, and just encouraging people that are struggling with, you know, some of the maybe anger or confusion or things that are going on. Judge how things are affecting you and what you were saying and how, as you're taking things on in, the kind of fruit it's bearing in your life. And if what you're consuming is creating bad fruit, which I have seen happening to so many amazing people of God, it's time to pause and it's time to pray and it's time to judge the fruit in your life. And then when you can do that, that will give you clear steps forward of how to handle some of the things that people are struggling with. So just that scripture has been something I've been repeating over and over and thinking about over and over. And I just love the tie-in from how you opened up the show and just that same thought process, those same conversations that I've been having.
Thank you, Lord. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to get Rosie Susie's verse as well. And as I said, I love it when I hear from you. What's the Lord speaking to you about? Is there an offering he's asked you to bring up? And then you have questions for our intercessors. Any of those things work? Text me now at 877-933-2484. It's Intercessors Insights Day. Just hearing from women who, you know, have their own stuff to do in their own world, but they're secret place women. They're behind the scenes in the presence of God. I know they all seek God earnestly, and I think what they have to say will nourish you, encourage you, empower you, and it'll be a great moment, I think, of a spiritual reset for many who need it. We'll be back in a minute.
I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. Oh, I'm so grateful.
Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. It's our Intercessors Insights show. We try to do this once a month where we gather these three friends together who are women of the Word, women of God's presence, and it's so fun to gather them together to say, what is the Lord speaking to you about these days? I'd also love for you to answer that question. What is the Lord speaking to you about these days? Is there an offering that he's asking from you? What he's asking from me these days is more time in his presence. I already spend quite a bit of time, but I just feel drawn and invited, and it's not a duty. It's like, I can't get there. It's quick enough. It's my delight. And boy, God is meeting us. And I see a few texts coming in too. If we can pray for you, we'd love to know that as well. Text us 877-933-2484. So we've heard, we open with scripture every day. We've heard from Bonnie and Shannon. Now, Rosie, what's the Lord saying to you these days?
Well, first, Bonnie, I'm so glad that we had a pause because and a break because I was sitting here listening to Shannon going, How does God do that? How come I have two verses when you only tell me to bring one, mm-hmm. and yet both of them fit, and I was trying to decide which one should I go with, but I'm doing both, if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
Because this is the first one, and I'm in Isaiah, Isaiah 42:16, and this is the verse God gave me on December 31st. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make rough places smooth. These are things I will do. I will not leave them undone. Mm. And so for our times that it just spoke, I mean, we didn't know everything that was going to be unraveling. You know, it's, we had some windows, but we didn't know where this was going. And so that was the scripture he brought. And then to Shannon's point, this is the other scripture that I've been saying over and over and over our country, over myself, over our family, friends, which is from Psalms 51, it's verse 10, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. So to the point of looking at our fruit and what we have to examine our heart. Why do we want these things? Is it for personal gain? Is it because we're affiliated with a certain group and we want that group to succeed? We have to come back to the purity of our heart and ask the Lord, purify that. We want to do and only point to you mm-hmm. in all of our actions, yeah. and we have to trust you for that because you will leave them, you will not leave them undone,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, and in that, we need a steadfast spirit because yeah. he likes his own timetable. I talk to him about it all the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, Lord, you like
does.
Your timetable and you don't like mine.
Yeah.
And so I need a steadfast
yes.
spirit
yeah.
to wait, to be in the wait with you.
Yeah. Amen. You know, God is coming. Jesus is coming for a pure and spotless bride. And we've been so fortunate to live in this free nation, this wealthy nation. But, you know, separating from that, just to step back for a second, wealth does things to people. And you might not think yourself wealthy, but you just need to look at some of the third world mm-hmm. countries. We are, if you live in an apartment and own one computer, you're in the upper 1% of the wealthiest in the world. So we are a wealthy people. Mm-hmm. And wealth can mix your motives, you know? And when the celebrity Christianity thing, 5 minutes of fame, infiltrated the church, a lot of people really wanted to use the glory of God for their own selfish purposes. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this last year turned things up on its head, and God is purifying his bride. The pure in heart are the ones who see God. And those who are humbling themselves and will respond, I think, are going to see the greatest move of God mm-hmm. because he comes near to the humble.
Yeah.
I've said this over and over again. I believe a great outpouring is coming, but it won't be butterflies and daisies for everyone. There's mm-hmm. going to be the discipline of God, and there's going to be the deliverance of God. And we can talk more about that in a moment, but I'd love all three of you to speak to this. And Bonnie, I'll start with you. But Leanne texted in and says, can you please talk a little bit more about hearing from God? I struggle with this. And I know you probably all hear from him in different ways, maybe similar ways. But Bonnie, how do you hear from God and what does that look like for you?
That's a great question. But for me, when I sit down to be with the Lord in the morning, I prepare myself first, and I do that by worship. I also bring the Word into that. You know, the Scripture says we are dead indeed to sin, but alive to God. And when he says that, I take him at his word. We are, you know, it talks about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. I just bank on it. I exercise my faith for it. And then I be quiet before him. And those little promptings, those little thoughts that come to you when you're worshiping or when you're just being still before the Lord, or even when you're in the Word, oftentimes, that's the Holy Spirit. So anyway, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, responding to the nudges. What about you, Shannon?
I would say different ways in different seasons, but some of the most consistent ways that I feel like the Lord does speak to me is, one, when I'm in a time of, you know, where I have the time and space to do a lot of deep, deep reflection, I feel like as I start journaling, the Lord will start to almost kind of, or writing. I feel like through writing, there's a lot of insight that God will give me as I'm writing. There's even been times where I'm literally, as I'm writing, I'm like, wow, I feel like those were not my words. That was the Lord. And it's way too eloquent for me to have put that together so easily. And then there are other times where it's just kind of small impressions on my heart where I might be, because, you know, as Bonnie said, taking time in prayer, but when, you know, what I notice is then when I'm out just doing life, I'll get impressions as I'm speaking to, you know, people. There will be small impressions of a verse or a concept, and so this the verse that we opened with, that has been in my conversations for the last couple of weeks. People in our church, outside of our church, it's just been this ongoing. It's like the Lord keeps sending me people who need to hear that, and so that's another way where it's just kind of an impression or a thought that keeps coming up.
Mm-hmm. And there's life in it. How about you, Rosie?
You know, both these things, it's all and more. Mm-hmm. For me, I had to start in my belief. I had to question myself in my belief that the Lord of all lords and the King of all kings wanted to speak to me. And so once I recognized his character as being so relational that he would break through all of my walls. You know, we always think, oh, I have to do this right or that right. Well, the great I am wants to talk to you, and he'll get through any wall that you have. And so I would start watching. I would watch for confirmation. I would look at scripture. Many times it was my faith as evidence. What was I really having faith in? That was evidence of what he was doing in me. And so then I would scramble, like, you know, for a squirrel with a nut, I would, you know, just start following the trail. Mm-hmm. And after a while, you start recognizing the voice of your shepherd. And it's undeniable. And in that, in the season of maturing and hearing him and recognizing and testing, there's also that recognition that you have to discern the spirits too.
Yeah.
And believe that you are, you know, we're in a spiritual world with the Lord. And so there are other entities that like to try to speak into you. And so learning how to discern was also very important. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a whisper, a scripture, confidence in the faith that he's been given, you know, songs, there's so many different things, mm-hmm. but he's constantly confirming him. And the beautiful, most gracious litmus test is if it's in scripture.
Amen.
Right? You have to test it against scripture first and foremost.
Yep. Yeah. I don't remember if I shared this on the show before, but you know, my boys are grown now, but my middle one was my strong-willed one. I got a lot of speaking material from him for a lot of years. And that poor kid, he just was like challenging us at every turn, but he was emotional and very sensitive. And I remember he was having an all-out meltdown, sobbing. And I went and sat on his bed, and he was, I don't know how old he was, 7 maybe, and he's bawling, and he's like, Mom, I don't know how to hear God's voice. And he said, and I'm so afraid the devil's going to get in there and trick me, and he's going to get me into more trouble. And don't you already think I'm in enough trouble?
Oh, what a sweetheart.
So he's like, what am I supposed to do? And I just sat him up and wrapped my arms around him, and I said, honey, I said, if you and I were walking in the woods holding hands, and I was talking to you, would you know it's me? And he says, yeah. And I go, why? Because I'm near you. I know what you sound like, and I know what you look like. But I said, well, what if you got distracted and curious? So you let go of my hand, and you kind of walked a few feet away. And I kept talking. would you still know it's me? Well, yeah, because I can still see you and I can hear you. I said, what if you kept wandering so far that we're out of sight? You can't see me anymore. You're way far away. And you hear me whisper, but you're not sure it's me or not. Could you be deceived? Could you be confused? And he said, I said, could someone possibly sneak in there between us and pretend they sound a way that they don't? And he said, yeah. And I said, how would you know, though? Well, they might ask me to do something different than what you would ever ask me to do. So I said, what's the moral of the story? And he said, don't let go of your hand. Stay close. And mm-hmm. I feel like that may sound simplistic, but, you know, abiding in the vine is where we bear much fruit. It's where our prayers are answered. It's where the Father is given glory. And Leanne, read in John 15. Just immerse yourself. You know, in scriptures, Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. They know what I sound like. So all of these things these girls have said, in his presence, the fullness of joy is found. Also, he's the Prince of Peace. Wisdom's path is peace. If the peace of God is with you, boy, you can look at that as a confirmation. We're getting ready to go to break here. But one more thing, a pastor friend of Bonnie's and mine said one time, as he said, one of the other ways you know it's God is if he surprises you, kind of like what Shannon is saying. He says something, you're like, that did not come from me. too brilliant. Uh-huh. So, I mean, there's something precious. And I think the more that you respond to his voice quickly, you know, the more you kind of get that time down between when he speaks and when you obey. I just think the clearer your spiritual ears hear him. Hopefully that helps. I see a few other texts coming in needing some prayer. We'll pray for you as well. This is Intercessors Insights today. Shannon, Bonnie, and Rosie. More with these girls in a moment. What if we told God that every day? You can have my heart. Search me, O God. Have my heart. Because when you guard your heart with all diligence and you let that be a sacred place where Christ fully resides and he's the one who guides and guards your thoughts, I mean, life and fruit overflow from your life. I'm Susie Larson. This is one of our days where we do something called Intercessors Insights. We've got Shannon Velzer. We've got Bonnie Newberg and Rosie Brosnan on the show. We try to get them on once a month to just hear from them. What is the Lord speaking to them these days? And we'll just, if you've got questions and even how we can pray for you, text me in 877-933-2484. And Bonnie, I want to ask this question for all three of you. And again, I'm kind of putting you guys on the spot because I didn't really tell you what I was going to be asking you. So however you want to answer. But when you look around at what's going on, I mean, I said this on a Facebook Live video recently. If you're a discerning person and walking in the Spirit and kind of paying attention to what's going on, you're going to have moments where you're troubled. And we have an invitation to get back to peace. But if your head isn't in the sand, you've got reason for concern. But again, it's an invitation to press into the Lord. As you see what's going on that I'm sure troubles your soul, what's your take and what's the Lord saying?
Well, the scripture does say, you know, that darkness covers the earth and gross darkness the people, but the Lord has arisen over you. So we know that these things are going to happen. These things that are happening right now, I believe they've been prophesied, you know. Who is it that says things aren't falling apart? They're falling into place. I think for me, I dip into what's going on, but then I pull back, and I really do. I do pray for the church. I think it's a real refining time for the church right now because there's a lot of things that are pulling on us. But God says, "This is what I want you to give attention to. Give attention to my word." Mm-hmm. You know, and He says, "Incline your ear to my sayings." He says, do not let them depart from your eyes and keep them in the midst of your heart. I think that's where our attention has to be. And then he also says in that scripture that they are life to those that find them and healing to all of their flesh. So, you know, as one who loves to pray, that's that's kind of where I put my attention, and then I prayer read. I read the scripture and I pray as the Lord leads.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Bonnie, for that. How about you, Rosie?
So similar to Bonnie, I think what's interesting in these times is that God is raising up. Jesus was such a warrior, right? Like if you think of, we think of Jesus as a savior and a mentor and friend, and he's so relatable, but really Jesus, when as he was risen, he didn't ask the devil to come up to him. He went down to hell, mm-hmm. right? And took on all the dominion of Satan, right? So I think of Jesus as a warrior. And so I feel like he is raising a warrior spirit in the church. Mm. But in order to stand in that warrior spirit, and this is where he's put my heart, is that we must understand and gird ourselves in who he is to be able to stand against the time. Because they will be doubters, there will be haters. And do you know your God well enough to be able to stand it and say, but my God will not leave this undone. Mm-hmm. And he mm-hmm. is our hope. And I don't mm-hmm. care what I'm going through. So if we think of a persecuted church coming or not coming, and I don't even pay that much attention to that anymore, because right now I am being convicted to understand how to stand mm-hmm. and keep my eyes on him. So I do have my physical eyes on what's going on in the world, but I would say that he has motivated my spirit, my spiritual eyes, to lock on fast to him, to know him well, to mm-hmm. know what the scriptures say, so that when the wind blows, my feet are firmly planted in the character of God.
Amen.
And so it doesn't matter what's coming my way, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. In this world, there will be trouble.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But God is an overcomer of the world. And if he's living in mm-hmm. me, then I'm an overcomer too. Mm-hmm. And so it's that confidence. And in order to have that confidence, you don't need the variables of the world. You need to know who your Lord is.
That's right.
So that's where he has got me. Mm-hmm. Eyes on him. I'm aware. Mm-hmm. I'm alert. I'm ready for war as he's prepared me, because he's inside me. Mm-hmm. But my eyes are on him, and in that I have such peace.
Well, and that confidence. Our battle is not against flesh and blood,
no.
but against
Amen.
Principalities Amen. In the spiritual realm. So we yep. love people, we hope right. in God, and we tear down strongholds that exalt themselves above the knowledge of
right.
God. And I think, you know, Shannon, one of the ways that we've lost our way is so many Christians are fighting the war, the battle, on the earthly plane, and the fruit of it is not good.
No.
And
right.
I really believe right. that's why we find ourselves where we are now, and God has allowed it. You know, in some ways, we've been exiled to Babylon
yeah.
because we've been fighting the wrong battles.
Yes.
But what's your take on what you're seeing these days and what the Lord is charging you with?
You know, I love what you were saying about a warrior spirit. I keep thinking of that scripture of, lo and behold, I am with you even until the end of the age. And if wherever we find ourselves, God is going to give us creative ways out of, not out as in we will not struggle or suffer, but he's going to give us creative ways to move forward. And mm-hmm. I'm with you that, you know, the church, it's going to thrive in any, in persecution actually does not, is not bad for us. It's not always, the idea of the comfort that we had in our churches before everything kind of flipped overnight is not necessarily a great thing. I love a story of friends that were in China saying, you know, we will pray for you guys. We're praying for you in America. And they said, well, thank you, but we pray for you in your comfort mm-hmm. because that is not always the, mm-hmm. the healthiest thing for us. And so, you know, I understand where people are struggling or you know, trying to sense what's going on with the times, but I just mm-hmm. really believe that God is going to use these times to strengthen his people, but mm-hmm. we have to be discerning. Mm-hmm. We have to be deeper in the word and deeper in prayer and be able to really understand what the Lord is doing, even in this time, even if it's different or uncomfortable. He's still moving. He's still
yeah.
working.
Mm-hmm.
He has not he left
is.
Us. Mm-hmm. He will not leave us. In, as he said, even until the end of the age, he is with us. And so I just believe that there is actually a lot of opportunity for the church, but we do need to be wise in how we fight and the tools that we use to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to really discern the voices that we are listening to right now.
Yeah, so amen. True. Somebody yep. give me an amen. And
I gotcha. Amen.
Go, Shannon. I mean, truly, when you think about, you know, we have a love of comfort. We have a love of ease, and we can pursue that ad nauseum in this nation, even in the body of Christ. But what too much leisure, too much ease, too much comfort makes us soft.
Yeah.
You know, it's the spiritual battle that keeps us agile and where we're engaged fully. And Shannon, you, in our email kind of dialogue back and forth around the show, you made this charge and it gave me holy goosebumps because I really believe it's true. But share what you shared in our email thread about what you see God doing in the days ahead in the body of Christ that is really outside of, you know, a lot of times I think lay people and marketplace people put the onus completely on pastors as you kind of do the heavy lifting and I'm going to go do my job and I'll come to church on Sundays. But you're saying this is flipping it's on its head. What do you say?
Yeah, I believe that, you know, it was, as you said earlier, that the church, the American church, needed to be flipped on its head, because I think we were so busy being excited about the 99 that we lost the attention of the one, you know? And I really believe that the future of the American church is not going to look anything like it did before. And I think that there is a new wave of revival that will come. But as the church, we have got to be open-hearted and open-minded about how that is, how God is going to do a new thing through the body. But I believe that this is the time for marketplace and lay leaders to rise up. You know, to be honest, as pastors, people are not running to our churches. and the things that drew people to churches before, the new generation, the young generation that's coming in is not impressed by any of it. Mm-hmm. What they are impressed by are relationships, authenticity, vulnerability. And I believe that the way that the church in America is going to rise up and continue to have influence is by equipping our marketplace and our lay leaders. And I think as churches, we have a responsibility and I think a calling to really equip these people that, to be honest, we haven't done a great job with sometimes. There's such leadership in our churches, but if they don't have some of the, you know, this is the typical what we need you to do on a Sunday morning kind of gift set, then we sometimes are lost in what to do with them. But I believe God is going to start giving pastors and leaders creative wisdom on how to equip and send out our marketplace leaders to really make an impact, because people aren't running to the buildings anymore. But but if we are running out to our communities and we are solving problems in our communities and we are lifting up marketplace leaders to go out and be the change within our cities, there will be an impact relationally. And I think we have gotten very comfortable with the idea of come to us, we're here waiting.
Yep.
And we got to get out. We got to get out and we have got to impact our communities. And I do believe pastors will be a part of equipping it. But I am so excited because there are just talented people in our churches that there's nothing wrong with being a greeter. I do our growth track and we need greeters at our church and I love our greeters, but I also don't want to underestimate what God can do in some of these marketplace leaders' lives outside of the four walls of
this
church.
This is so important. You know, there needs to be a mindset shift both in the pastoral leadership but in the people who attend church that we would all see ourselves as commissioned, because if it's church is just something you do and now you're doing it online, you're even more disengaged than you were before. My hubby is a marketplace guy, commercial construction manager, and I pray over him all the time. Give him the wisdom of Boaz and of Solomon so when he steps onto these job sites, he discerns who needs a word of encouragement, who needs a fatherly, you know, just impartation, so to speak. You know, I mean, he just talks about it. He comes home and says, you know, I just grabbed this guy by the shoulder and said, you are doing something so important here and your presence here makes a difference. And he said, you can, these people are without fathers, so many of them, and you see them rise up. But if each of us saw ourselves as being commissioned as salt and light, and you know, and I'm just, you know, I know a lot of people are still doing online church, but pay attention to your heart if it's caused you to disengage, to become kind of a spectator theater religion thing. And, you know, Rosie, based on what Shannon just said, and Bonnie, I'd love for you to comment on this too. I have felt, too, that we need to form an underground church. And I don't mean to sound conspiratorial, but instead of just, please give me grace in case I say this the wrong way, but instead of just tuning in online, you would stay connected with your pastoral leaders, but you would find some people in your immediate community that are believers, reach out out of your comfort zone, and connect. If you're not comfortable in a church setting with 100 people, whatever, connect with two or three neighbors you know, and start to pray with them, but form a network of an underground connection. I just think we don't know where everything's going, but I think that would be wisdom and it would get you back engaged in the activity of the church.
And I think if we go back to what Jesus told Peter, it's upon you I will build my church. Mm. And church there is ecclesia. It's a bigger word. It's not four walls. It's not a denomination. It's a government. And if you think of a government, if you think, go back and think of Rome or the United States or, you know, China or Russia, governments want to imprint themselves, right? And so good for good, bad, or ugly. And we, lovely, are on the good, right? So we want to go into our communities and imprint ourselves and have those conversations because mm-hmm. that's what the new generation is looking for, authenticity. If I say I'm a Christian and I'm working with some kids that are in their 20 or 23 and I'm afraid to bring forth my word or to encourage them, then they don't feel like that's very authentic because they want me to be living it. And we don't live it on Sunday. We do. We go, we attend it on Sunday, but we live it Sunday through Sunday. Yeah. And so I think that's where we all have to move and take responsibility and going back to how do we do that? We know our Lord.
Yeah.
We know our God and we know his character in order to step into that role.
Mm. Before Bonnie, we get to you, I want to say Tom wrote this and I stand corrected. I mean, it's a great challenge. He says, I think the future of the quote American church is the FM dial and faith radio app and other similar offerings. Also an offering is it also referring to as quote unquote American church is an arrogant thing to say because disciples practice worldwide. He said, I get the point, but it sounds very arrogant to say the American church. And I said, I appreciate that so much. There is a distinction, I think, between Christians in the West and those in the East who have to pay a huge price to follow mm-hmm. Christ. But I sure didn't mean to insult. But I do still say that those of us in the West as believers, as Shannon was saying, I've heard this, the persecuted church prays for us because they're more concerned about us and our comfort than they are about them and their danger. Mm-hmm. And Bonnie, we're right up against a break. So when we come back, I would just love for any thoughts you have based on some of this conversation we've had. And I see Nancy said her baby sister was just diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. We're going to pray for her as well. Interesting conversation. I so appreciate your feedback very, very much. Text me now, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. Got my friends on for Intercessor Insights. We've got Rosie Brazen, Shannon Velzer, and Bonnie Newberg. And we're talking about all kinds of things, just about the time and time we're in and what is the Lord saying to us. And Bonnie, before the break, I was saying, and I didn't mean this at all in a conspiratorial way. I just think it's wisdom that we need to start forming an underground church. And I want to just tell you guys just an honest confession. I'm always very raw about my own weaknesses. I'm an introvert. When I'm a part of a big church and I beeline it to the car because I'm just I need redemption. I need help. I'm trying to be better at slowing down just because I, you know, yeah. Anyway, all that to say, Kevin and I recently reached out to people in our community that we've never met and said, are there other believers here? Do you want to pray together? And we've just built a couple of two, three new relationships. It is so out of my comfort zone, but I feel the charge from the Lord. Start an underground connection in our communities, but also stay connected to your pastor where you're saying, this is what I'm doing so that there are just veins, you know, all over the place. But what are your thoughts on that, Bonnie?
Oh, I love what you gals have been saying, and community does really look different, and for me, community is really connection, and it's pretty interesting because, Susie, you know, we've been spending time with our grandbabies and with my granddaughter and my grandson. They're 20-something, and it's been so wonderful to be able to just talk with them because we've been spending several hours with them, you know, and just to hear where they're coming from. And then, you know, of course, we take what they say and then we pray. But my husband and I, I think that has been one of the most profound connections, community, that we have had in these last several weeks. Mm. And it's exactly what you're saying, Shannon. It looks a little bit different, but it's a little bit more authentic, mm-hmm. and it's
hands-on.
It's more hands-on. It's more do life together, you know. I agree, and I agree with you, Susie. I love that idea of getting a few people together to pray. I'm still looking for that. I'm still looking for those that, you know, really want to get together and pray. Mm-hmm. But I think that's profound.
Rosie, you look like you wanted to add something there.
No, Bonnie, I'll pray with you. Because I'll be at your feet. Like, can I come over?
Because you can. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm coming too, Bonnie.
That. Yeah, we're all, I would love that. I would just like love to just sit and listen to mm-hmm. you pray. But mm-hmm. yes, no, that is the, and it's so interesting because as Bonnie said it, I'm still looking for those people. And I am an extrovert. I'm a social introvert. So I love being social and then I have to pull back. But extending, for whatever reason, extending the olive branch to pray in a neighborhood where I know there are many people of faith, but we haven't crossed that barrier. And so I've been convicted of saying, okay, I need to extend this olive branch out to my neighbors instead of just, hi, how are you, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. to really take it that next step. And that takes, you know, a fair amount of courage for me.
Hello.
Yeah,
yes.
You know, because of the, you know, you might be rejected. You don't mm-hmm. Know where their political points are
right.
and all those type of things. And so crossing over the barrier right now, but, and I will have to say, and we haven't discussed this yet, the only reason we don't cross over the barrier is because we've listened to the lies that you won't be accepted. And so it kind of circles back to, but if you know who you are in Christ, whether you're accepted or not, you'll be able to take that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I'm mm-hmm. speaking to myself, mm-hmm. ladies.
And
you know,
I'll just be honest.
How did you do that?
We prayed for months first.
How did you do it?
Yeah. We prayed for months. You know, I was telling my sister the other day, or today, actually. My days are blurring here. But I don't remember which guest it was, but he has a massive ministry to the Muslims, and they're seeing Muslims come to faith in the Middle East in just in record numbers. But they would send their missionaries to prayer walk around these communities mm-hmm. covertly. Sometimes for a year, and just like prepare the land, God. And then they would say, show me the people of peace, people, you know, a heart right. of peace where there was a receptivity to the gospel. So we literally have been praying for months.
Mm.
First, like, God, help me not be a wretch. Help me, God, not be so self-protective, and help me to have faith and compassion and love so much for my community that I'm seeking the prosperity of my city. And what has been so amazing is, you know, the Bible talks about where your treasure is, your heart is, you know, seeking mm-hmm. first the kingdom for our city, because scripture says seek the prosperity. We've been praying for our mayor, who happens mm-hmm. to go to our church. We've been praying for the city leaders, praying for marriages. We've been just been praying like crazy in general ways for our city. And suddenly we find our hearts really knitted. And so mm-hmm. then I was just ready to take the risk. And there's a Facebook page for our particular community. And I noticed when people would say, our church is doing this cool thing, it would be crickets. Nobody would like it. Nobody would comment. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm going in. I'm just going in. And but I was actually very surprised that mm-hmm. some have said I would actually be interested in that. So
wow.
So
wow.
Yeah, yeah. Go figure, huh? This, let's see here. I want to pray for Nancy because she said her dear sister, or her, I can't stand this. My sweet baby sister has just been diagnosed with stage 3 pancreatic cancer, has two boys at home, needs Jesus so bad.
Wow.
Any one of you feel so led mm-hmm. to pray for Nancy
wow.
and her sister? Mm-hmm. Anybody?
Wow. Wow.
Certainly I can. I'm looking at Shannon too.
And,
yeah.
Did you
yeah.
want to go?
No, go ahead.
Okay. So, yeah, I will. So thank you, Nance. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for being able to enter your throne room by the grace of your blood, your shed blood, and we just thank you for that. Lord, I thank mm-hmm. you for a sister who prays. I thank you for
yes,
Nancy.
God.
I thank
yeah.
you that she is standing in the gap, Lord.
Jesus.
What a position of privilege, Lord, and of heart, and I thank you for her. I thank you mm-hmm. for her sister, Lord, that I just am... It's just pressing upon me, Lord, that you're telling me at Genesis 50:20, that what the enemy has intended for evil, you promise mm-hmm. to make unto good
yes,
for
God.
The betterment of others. So, Lord, I am asking you to
Jesus.
Make unto good this diagnosis, Lord, wherever her sister needs to go with it, to grow, Lord, that it would serve its purpose. But, Lord Jesus, we do not receive this cancer unto this sweet woman, Lord. We do not receive anything from the enemy that you have died to deliver us from.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lord, we ask that she be completely healed,
yes,
that your
God.
Will is to bind our wounds and heal our diseases,
yes,
Lord.
Yeah.
According to Psalm 103, Lord, you talk about our iniquities. So, Jesus, if there are iniquities present, Lord, let there be forgiveness. Let the Holy Spirit descend upon the sweet family and and teach them the ways that they should go so that the diseases can be healed, Lord. If there needs to be reaching out to their pastors, Lord, to invite the elders in for healing oil, let that happen, Lord. If the church needs to be raised to pray for her, let that happen. However, Lord, you intend to heal this sweet woman, Lord, we ask that it be done. We ask that it bring you glory, Jesus. Mm-hmm. And Lord, I've been in that place where we had a diagnosis with two small boys. I ask that your protective hedge of protection be around her children. Lord, let the enemy not have any ground in worry or fear. Yeah. Lord, let they be steadfast in who you are. Lord, your grace is sufficient. Send your angel armies around this family to protect them and promote them and propel them in your way. And let it be for your glory, Jesus. In your name, Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Just got a little bit of time left here. And I want to ask you a question. Yesterday, we did a show. Our guest had to cancel, so Angie Smith, my new producer, said, we just talked behind the scenes, let's go. Let's do it. Let's pray for people. There's so many needs. I think we had over 100 texts that came in, and Angie and I got to pray for people. It was really powerful, but a number of you said, can you do more of those shows? So I just want an issue, or just a request to tell me, would you want that? Would you want it once a month, every other month? Would you just text me your opinion? Angie Smith is my new producer, and that woman can pray. So we love to just stand in the gap for you. But really want to minister to your needs, whatever works for you. So just text me and let me know if that works for you. 877-933-2484. Girls, I want to just say thank you for the time today and for the way you're stewarding the kingdom. And you know what I just know about all three of you is when we gather together, you've stewarded your hearts. You've guarded your hearts because there's always this sweet aroma that comes from you. And I just can't even tell you how much it means to me.
It's a blessing to be here, honestly. Yeah, it's a blessing to serve God in this way. It's just takes us out of our prayer closet and into the prayer arena, and I just love it. I love praying for other people, so it's wonderful.
Yes, I agree. Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. And Bonnie, thank you. Bonnie's the one that's on the phone. We're going to get her back here in studio. We're just doing the COVID spacing thing. But Bonnie, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for the opportunity.
God bless you. This is live radio, and we're kind of cash today. But Angie, are you able to pull that song back up, or is it already gone off the button bar? You able to pull it up? We're just going to play it for about 30, 40 seconds. I want you to hear it again. Just the comfort kind of is behind us, that kind of ease and comfort. Adventure is before us, and God will surely be faithful. Let's listen. We sure love you. Pray you found some encouragement here. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player. And never miss a show.